Welcome to AncientFuture.today and our conversations with the Grand Council about current events.
And so it is, we meet and we greet with all of you of this fine day, and we ask you to take a moment to center yourselves in your own being, the way that we do that normally with the Megan and with the Oracle is to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, making some small sound. And two more, please. Breathing out anything that is a stress or a worry or a conundrum or a burden. And now centering yourselves in the moment to listen and to be able to navigate around in your mind, heart, spirit, soul, as we talk about current events of these days. And so it is. So Megan, how are you?
Hello. Thank you, Grand Council. Well, I am feeling a sense of inner peace now, and I'm aware that there's a lot going on in the world right now, and I'm grateful that I'm feeling that, not so agitated as I have been, and I feel very peaceful. Thank you.
And what is the date of this fine day, thank you, in your earth speak?
It is the 12th of February, 2020.
Lots of twos in there. And so it is that we are very aware of the idea of current events being something that is top of mind for most people, whether or not you are following your news media or not. You are going to be feeling the effects of the knock-ons of the news, so to speak. And for you, what are you aware of that has been in the news for the past, let us say, 3 to 4 weeks?
Well, it's been interesting for me because I've been in West Africa and just came home to the United States, and the impeachment trial and President Trump's acquittal has been up front and center. Brexit has been up front and center. So a lot of agitation in America, and I know in Britain as well. And I think there's been, it feels to me that since the acquittal of President Trump, there has been a kind of both disbelief and also it feels like a kind of acting out on the president's part. And so I find myself in somewhat in disbelief to just, and then not to see how it feels to me that President Trump is taking advantage of feeling like he now has free rein to do even more of whatever he wants without being checked. So it feels like almost like we're going into a time when laws don't seem to be containing certain behavior. And I think that feels scary for a lot of people. Like, we've always trusted that our Constitution would have checks and balances between the three branches of government. And it feels like that there really aren't checks and balances right now. And, you know, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I'm not really judging it. It's just, things are changing and it feels like there's not as much law and order and containment. Thank you.
And how does that make you personally feel when you consider yourself, you are a citizen living in California and you have lived for 5 decades almost and you have a family and a home and work that you enjoy and friends and extended family and community and activities that define your days and your ways, and you travel all over the world and you produce beautiful works of art through your robes and through writing your books and teaching your courses in many different subjects. And so you are what we would call and consider by looking into and through your circumstances, you are fairly well established in your early middle age. And so how does that make you feel? Thank you.
It's a good question, because on the one hand, when I check into my deep center and I'm in my true north, I know that no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. I think because I'm with a lot of other people and I'm watching the news and I'm talking to lots of other people who feel very uneasy, I'm just noticing that I don't personally feel uneasy inside myself. And I'm feeling the agitation that's in the ethers, that's in the atmosphere. And, you know, there's a lot of things that could go radically sideways in our country. And, you know, we don't really know what tomorrow brings. I mean, I think a lot of people are sitting on pins and needles and are a bit anxious and worried. So I know that that's in the air right now. And it's true that I think we do have to be incredibly resilient right now, because we really don't know the consequences of this kind of behavior. And we've never really been in this place before as a society. So yeah, I think I'll stop there. Thank you.
And so what you are witnessing, as all of you are in tree, and it's ironic in the sense that if you were speaking with people who live or have lived in Central and South America or Africa or India or other places where chaos reigns normally as the normal operating system, they would just say, so what's new? Which dictator do you have in place today? And how did it go? Was it a bloody coup or a bloody takeover, or was it just one of those things that the royal family was slaughtered in their beds as they were in Nepal many years ago, and then the communists were in control from over the border? Or there are many, many different countries and peoples, cultures all over your planet throughout time, as you well know, having many lifetimes yourself, where you were part of the vanquishing tribes coming in to take over the lands or the goods or the peoples themselves, to have them work their own fields and to give you the proceeds from their hard works. Not just you personally, you as a representative of conquerors or perhaps on the other side of the coin as the rebellion or the peasants who are fighting to save their lands that their ancestors had worked hard for many generations to scrape a living from and to live high in the Andes. Or you see many different possibilities for chaos to occur in anyone's life at any time. And what has happened in the U.S. of A., especially in the middle and upper middle Caucasian part of the U.S. of A., is that there has been such a good standard of life for such a long time, at least for a couple hundred years, for that particular genre of the population. And so it has become the norm to expect that each day will be somewhat predictable based on what happened yesterday. And for all those who do not and are not, were not, have not yet been so stable and so advantaged and privileged, is another word we could use, to have a life that was somewhat predictable, and everyone knew that when April came around, taxes had to be filed, and every November, every 4 years, there would be an election for your new governors or whatever, that these systems within your systems were clicking along and turning over very much like a nicely built clock would do. And yet for the rest of your society, and we include the U.S. in this, those who are not of that particular dominant genre of demographic, life has seldom been that predictable and that estimable, mm-hmm. if we may say. And so it is that it is just that the now the white folks are catching up, you mm-hmm. see, with reality. And that is why there is so much agitation, because people are afraid of losing what they have.
Right.
And when they really look at what is it that they have, what would you say most people literally have that they are afraid of losing? Thank you.
Job, car, apartment, home, family. Yeah, the things that are kind of the base bedrock of our what we think is our society.
Hmm.
Thank you.
Health.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff. Mostly people are worried about their stuff. And when you find, and this is an interesting part of your current events in the United States, and in particular in California, your governor just recently was on a program that the Oracle was dispatched by us to watch, and he was being interviewed in the wee hours of the morning by one of your late comedian hosts, and they spoke about the homeless issue in California, and your governor said that there are at least 150,000 homeless people in California right now. Now, how that number is reached is beyond us, because there are many more than 150,000. There are those who are visibly on your streets and who do not seem to have a lock or a key, or certainly both, neither nor both, do not seem to have 3 square meals a day nor access to them, do not seem to have more than they can carry or push in a laundry basket or a trolley from the grocery store that they have commandeered. And yet there are many, many, many people living lifestyles where they are living in their cars, mm-hmm. or they are living on the floors of accommodating friends, or they are living in the abandoned shacks that don't look as if they are a home, and yet to someone they are a palace, you see. Certainly they are shelter from the storm. And so it is the sort of thing that is going on in your country right now, that the white supremacy that is rising again, which is really just a very visible example of fear turned into action and turned into retaliation, when the pain is so great of the fear of loss, of the fear of not being okay, the fear of not being on top and superior and the ones or the one in control, that it turns itself outward and becomes a destroying energy. Hmm. Now, just recently, you have had some interesting insights into the Shakti Shiva connections of the destruction and the construction of energies. Whilst you were working with that, you were really working with the male and female principles, as we know. And if you were to take that and to put it into the have not have parts of human experience, or the destruction of and the construction of that which makes humans great or masterful, would you have anything you would like to share with us as a momentary insight? Now, we have sprung this on you completely, so we do not expect you to give a scholarly diatribe on this. Merely, what say you when we suggest that there is some connection here that you can share? Thank you.
I'm actually not really following. I hear what you're saying about the masculine and feminine, but I'm not clear on the question, actually. If you could ask that to me again.
Sure, and differently. So in your society, let us just keep it in the U.S. because that is what you are familiar with right now, even though you have just spent time again after several visits over your lifetime to Western Africa. And perhaps you can fold that into your awareness and your discussion coming. You have seen the energetics of the male, which is the very forthcoming, the stepping into the very constructive, visible constructive energies within each being, and the feminine, which is the holding of and the nurturing and the gestating and the feminine qualities that go along with female. And as you look at your culture right now, and we say American culture, not just middle, upper middle, white, Caucasian, suburban culture, rather the American culture, which is anything but just one culture, where do you see these destructive, constructive, male and female, Shakti and Shiva energies expressing themselves right now? Thank you.
That is a great question. Well, it feels to me that we've been going along, maybe since the 50s after World War II, building up certain institutions. Some of them have been very beneficial, educational institutions. Some of them have been kind of getting completely out of hand, our military industrial complex and the CIA and the, you know, national homeland security and national security. So there have been all of these structures that have been nurtured, built and nurtured. And, you know, I think what we're seeing is that many of them are no longer suiting us. And because astrologically, you know, Pluto and Saturn right now are conjunct, and it's going to get more intense in March when we have also Jupiter and Mars going to be conjuncting Pluto, which, and Pluto really wants to destroy all the systems that are no longer life-giving, life-sustaining. And so it feels to me like we're seeing the agitation and the dismemberment or the coming apart of these institutional structures that we have thought were life-giving. And actually, when we look at them, it's right in our face right now, they haven't been life-giving at all. And so we're seeing a lot of these institutions and structures being dismembered. That's the Plutonic side of it. And the Saturn side of it is that there's a tendency to hold on, you know, the white supremacists, we wanting to hold on to what we've had. And so I do see a lot of destruction, and maybe it's, well, and I believe it, a lot of it is necessary, tearing down of the things, the structures that have just not been life-giving or nurturing. And as I watch the divine feminine rise, that really is, you know, what is going to be more life-nurturing and more life-giving for us as a society into the future. So I have a lot of positive hope, and then I know that in the destructive phase, people's fear increases, even though the aim of this dismantling is to build up structures that are more life-giving and that can nurture more people, not just the middle class and the upper middle class and the upper class. So that's my answer right now as I'm thinking off the top of my head. Thank you.
All right. Excellent. Thank you for giving it the collegiate go, as you always do. We always rely upon you to step to the plate and do your best. And as always, you have insights that are intelligent, that are not egotistical, that are in inquiries in and of themselves as you state your opinions. And this is role modeling for those listening about how your mastery comes to the fore, even if you are not an expert on the issue at hand, and you are asked to give your opinion. And this is something you will be seeing in your United States congressional news these days in spades. For everyone is usually very happy to have the media put their microphones in front of their faces and to ask the questions that they would like to issue forth their opinions so that they have their airtime. And usually the more the better. What have you witnessed in the last several days with many, if not most, of the legislators in Washington, D.C. as the media dog them asking the questions about the Department of Justice essentially sticking their noses in to reduce a sentence for Roger Stone, who is a longtime friend of the President Trump and who was who is set for sentencing, and the sentence is going to be 7 to 9 years. Your president thinks that that is outrageous and that he probably should not even be indicted for lying under oath under the Mueller investigation that was just recently concluded last year. And so, as the president has has said, well, I have not spoken to anyone in the Department of Justice about this. No, what he did is he did what he has been doing all along. He has tweeted to the world his opinion, and then the Department of Justice took it as marching orders and acted upon it. And now there are many, many people with opinions about whether that was a good thing to be done or not. And as you said in your short explanation of what has been happening in your political world recently, after your president was not indicted, so to speak, in the trial of your Senate for impeachable actions, and he was not removed from his office, now he is using that as a carte blanche permission from the systems that you just also described that have gone way beyond what they were originally envisioned to do as organizing and controlling societies and systems and processes, etc. Your president is completely representative of that overage, if we may put it that way, of permission and power that is not it is not really conferred by the people on the president nor on to the systems. And yet, because the people yourselves have relinquished your power little bit by little over the years in order to keep your standard of living intact and the illusion that you were a nation of kind-hearted, generous people in the world, many of your power brokers, your politicians and people at the tops of corporations and institutions like universities and hospitals and et cetera, have been very busily going about creating wealth for themselves and theirs. And right. Wealth meaning both power and also material goods and financial stabilities and well beyond stabilities. And so it is, you now have this elite class of people who have so much power and so much money. They are the most afraid of what they could lose because they have more, they think, to lose than the man on the street. Witness the man this morning when you and the Oracle were off for some coffee. He had a bag and some dirty clothes he was wearing. And some dirty clothes he wanted to clean. And when the Oracle says, "What do you need?" he said, "I need a sewing kit and I need to clean my clothes." And the Oracle said to him, "I'm sorry, I can't help you with either of those." And as the two of you walked on to do your errand, he said, "And or small change, anything you can spare." Mm-hmm. So you see, he is making do. All he wants is to have some clean clothes. So what does he have to lose if your politics and your power structures are crumbling right before your eyes or are at least being exposed right now to you? Mm-hmm. He is in a much better position than those people who are billion trillionaires who think that they are going to lose everything that defines them.
Right. Yeah.
Is that not an irony?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, we would not say that it is a good thing that someone sit on a cold concrete sidewalk at 9 o'clock in your morning, unless that is what they prefer to do. And you will never know unless you interview that man and get to become his friend, whether this is a choice that is conscious, based on circumstances having become unstable for him at some point in his life, and then becoming the norm, or if it is some other story considerably different than what we have just outlined. You will not know if it is a choice, if it is a preference, if it is related to mental illness, which a lot of people who are in homeless status right now have as a dynamic in their lives. Or what? You have no idea. What you do know, though, is that when everything comes crumbling down, should it, he is going to be better positioned and better qualified and better equipped and more resilient for things to be rather basic than the people who feel they must have all of their things and their cars and their this, that, and the other in place, shiny, et cetera, safe, because they have not really dealt with the idea that they could live without all of it. So this is what is happening in your current events, in your country, most of all, is the fear, and this is why you feel the agitation, is that everyone who has things and has property and has your retirement funds that are all digital anyway, there is no real value in any of it, that have your medical plans, you have your Social Security, you have all of these things that the systems that have been in place for some time have worked to create and then to create the illusion that they are really there to serve you, you see. Everyone who has all of that is having to decide, consciously or not, their relationship to how that defines them. Whereas the man on the street of your morning today defined himself with a sewing kit and clean or not clean clothes. Do you see the difference in who's really positioned to deal with life when it comes as it is to be dealt with? Thank you.
Yes, it's an interesting perspective, and I would agree with you. Yes. I am really interested in this, the difference between the operating system of fear and the operating system of love. And that's something I've really been thinking about, that for sure when people are living with an operating system of fear, they're going to be hanging on, whereas perhaps the man on the street, it really isn't operating at all on the a fear-based system. It would be interesting to kind of understand what sort of operating system he lives with. So I think I would just suggest, as people are listening to this podcast, to check in with themselves and to really take stock of what operating system they're running inside of their own system, their own body. Thank you.
This is perfect. You have not had a chance to catch up with the article, even though she is living in one of your rooms in your home at the at the present time. At a wee hour of last night, we asked her to write another article called Normal is What Seems Normal Is Not. And she is working with these articles through the LinkedIn social media. And she forecasted at the end of the article that the next article she will write is Fear, an Operating System. So it is quite interesting that you have brought this up in this time. And it is true. And what we would suggest to those of you listening, and the filter in place for you to discover this podcast is going to be that you are master, and you are either discovering that you are master, you are beginning to own that you are master, or you are celebrating and expanding your understanding of yourself as master. So within that context, what we would say the operating system right now for all of you, if you wish to move through these times of destruction, construction, or unweaving and reweaving, or imploding and then resurrecting as the phoenix, which is really the process that is in place right now in your country, we would suggest an operating system of what is, whatever is, and to deal with things on their own terms rather than on yours, making things come to you to define themselves to you, rather that you just look and deal with whatever is as it is. Mm. this helps because it takes a lot of that energy that you can use in dealing with whatever it is in constructive ways. That energy is required when you are moving through uncertainties, you are moving through things that are destroying themselves from inside out or are being destroyed from the outside in. When that is happening, most of you have nothing you can do about it, whether it is a system or a process, much like what is happening in your Washington, D.C. right now, where your Justice Department, which is one of your three executive branches, well, you have an executive branch, a judicial branch, and a legislative branch, all of which are supposed to be equal branches of your government,
right,
designed very cleverly long ago to keep each other in check with power. Because, of course, your founders understood, being the men that they were, that power corrupts. They were very powerful people. They were, meant some of them, very corrupt in the way they used their power. And they were experts in it. And they knew in order to build a nation that had a potential that was different than the nation or nations that they had left behind to start anew, they had to have a new operating system. Mm. This is true for your country now. And it is, has been true for many countries for a long time. And yet most people are so busy surviving day to day, surviving the chaos of destruction, construction, or defiling, and then determining what is better than a defiling of human nature. What happens is people get very busy in dealing with the what's, the details and the fear and the lack of security and the need to eat and all of the basic sort of things that humans naturally worry about. So that it, the reconstruction and the evolution and the phoenix rising is often attended to consciously by many, if any, people in chaos. And so as natural systems are, eventually that occurs, organically that occurs. And yet if you really wish for it to occur more quickly and more inclusively, so everyone who wishes to be constructive in this milieu of yours now, you must be able to rise above the fear operating system into the love operating system. And the way to get from the fear to the love as an operating system is to learn to accept things as they are, without judgment, without shaming, without blaming, without bullying, without separating, without needing things to be different than they are, with just being able, and this is a concept that we are working with all of you on in your mastery, being compassionate witnesses to what is going on, both for yourselves and for all others, not just certain others, all others, that all others are part of your compassionate witnessing, and that you lend a hand when it is not, what is the word, transactional, if that makes sense, because a transactional compassion is what you will find in the fear-based operating systems. I will give you this if you won't shoot me, or I will give you a piece of bread if you give me a piece of cheese. That is a fear-based sort of thing. The love-based sort of thing is, I have this bread, what do you have? How can we all share it? Not just you and I, but how can we feed the people that are next to us as well? And the way to go through from scarcity to abundance, even though there is no difference in the quantity that is available, is to say, well, what is? You have bread, I have cheese. There are 55 people here to feed, and probably enough bread and enough cheese to give each person a taste. Mm-hmm. Shall we? Shall we propose that to these 55 people together? So you see, we are not really talking about current events as much as we are talking about the effects of your current events. They will get even more bizarre before they start to really implode. They will get even more extreme. They will get even more what is the word? There is something going on in your society, right? Outraged. Everyone seems to be on in some spectrum of outrage about how a president can act like this, or an entire body of Republican legislators can pretend that they don't get what's going on, or pretend that it's okay that it's going on, knowing full well that these are very intelligent people, and some of them very decent people. And yet they are supporting behaviors that are anything but decent. They are indecent behaviors on the part of your president. And yet, you know, he is a catalyst of the highest order. Not that we would spend time ourselves in his company having tea with him, if it were a choice between having tea with him and having tea with the man that you met this morning sitting on the sidewalk. We would probably prefer the man on the sidewalk, because he has lived a rough life in comparison to your president, and he tells the truth, and so we would find him more interesting than your president. And yet, your president is doing his job. He is being paid very well to do a job very well. And he is a catalyst for destruction. And he is doing a very good job of this, would you not say? Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
So we have probably waxed, however eloquently we have waxed, about the realities of your current events. We could talk about specifics. We could contrast to you how different it would be if that or the other. And really, the summary statement for all of the times that you are in right now is they are what they are. And how to navigate through them might be useful for people to realize that you have all that you need in order to navigate through them. First of all, decide whether you wish to go through it with drama, struggle, pain, agony, fear, or if you wish to move through it in learning how to be more detached, with compassionate witnessing, with taking care of yourself, your loved ones, and lending a hand when it makes sense to others, not turning your head from that which is ugly or disturbing, really looking at it full on and seeing it for what it is. And then moving into more love all the time for yourself, and forgiveness for those who you see or feel to be doing you wrongly, and allow them to have their experience. Now, there are things that are disturbing. There is a higher degree of violence in your culture right now than there used to be. There is hatred that is expressed in many different ways, many different times a day by many different people. All of that fear operating system is going to be spewing and bubbling and cauldroning over into society. So it is a challenge for those of you who wish not to hide in your homes behind locked doors and pretend that you are safe. It is very important that you do not shut yourselves away and that you do not close your eyes. And when it becomes time for you to take action or to speak up, it is the better part of discernment for you to decide if it is worth it to you, if you feel that what you're going to say and see can make a difference. And if it does, then figure out the way that it can make the best difference for you and as many people and the planet and other life forms on your planet as you can possibly do. This is not a time to hide away. Many of you will, because you are working from an operating system of fear. This is a time to come together with others who are brave enough to love in spite of what looks like the not love. For indeed, will you find ways together to deal with the uncertainties, to deal with the chaos, to deal with the deconstruction of everything that you think you hold dear and must have, to a new way of understanding that you are perfectly fine as you are, wherever and whenever as you are, and that you will survive in whatever ways you will. This is also a time to come to a recognition of the fear that all of you, unless you have been through certain experiences, have of death, the greatest fear any of you have, that if you have not dealt with it, will continue to bring you into an operating system of fear, is your fear of death, bodily, physical death. And so we will leave you with that as an uplift note and homework for those of you that like to evolve consciously, to really decide how you're going to position yourself with the entire issue of your own death and the death of those and that which you love and hold dear. And until we have the pleasure and the honor speaking with you all again one of these days soon about current events or other, we ask you to go with our love and other blessings and to remember that as master, you create your own realities with whatever is around you and how you choose to view it, to interface with it, and to move it as you wish, to recreate it if you can, and or to accept it as it is. And for now, adieu.
Your journey of mastery continues with ancientfuture.today.